Hello, welcome back, everybody, to another year of the Sunday Podcast.
I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Back in 2025 for our fifth season. You can expect more of this.
He's claiming that he was ill before the semifinal, whatever. But, you know, I just feel like at that point he was just looking for attention.
And some of this.
And you normally say no human is limited. So I can't limit myself, or I can't just say I can do.
As well as event coverage around all the major races on the UK circuit.
And if you're a fan of the pod, please give us a rating and review on your preferred podcast streaming service.
And if you want to stay up to date with all the latest news, give us a follow on Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
As always, thanks for listening. See you next time. And we hope you enjoyed the episode.
Hello, welcome back to another Tokyo bonus. Men's 1500 in the books. Not what we expected at all. Women's steeple in the books as well. But got to start with that. Jake Whiteman's silver medal. And Josh Kerr, he did finish. But yeah. Out with injury, essentially.
Out with injury, man. I mean, I watched it live, so I haven't watched that one back. But I don't know if he even got clipped. Did he get clipped, or was it just...
Didn't look like it. Nah, just looked like he's like pulled a hammy or calf, something like that, essentially. Bit of cramp, I don't know, but...
I'm sure we'll find out, but to be honest, I thought his positioning was negative. It was bad from the offset, and the minute he was back there, and he was back there for a long time as well, what was it, 600 to go that he had the issues? I actually thought... That's not the Josh Kerr we have seen over the last couple of years. I thought to be that negative in a two flat opening 800 or 159, you know, they were 59, 60 or whatever. To be that negative in that race and be that far back, I thought that was off from Kerr for me. And yeah,
I presume he had an issue going in. Not a bad issue.
He looked vulnerable in the semis. Maybe the semi fall affected him. I don't know.
I mean, as in going into the final, as in, like, I presume my interpretation after he, like, pulled up was that actually he's been feeling it a little bit all race, which is why he was kind of back and out of trouble rather than really testing it and was just going to see what he could do over the last lap. I don't know. It didn't seem like this is, like, come from absolutely nowhere. Like you say, the fool, potentially, those fools, like, you just never know what happens. In there,
maybe there's more to it in that sense than, yeah, you might be right. Like, I did think it was negative, and there was no time that he wanted to move up. I don't know what his game plan was, whether he was going to come with this mega last lap, but look, the way
that's what I mean, and that's just not Josh Kerr. Like, there's no way, if he's 100% fit, there's no way he's just doing that on purpose. So,
I mean, we'll focus on the positives. I mean, Jake Whiteman won an amazing race, and he was so unfortunate not to win that. Nada comes out of nowhere, and it's such a shame, man. Like, sales in the stadium, it was fantastic seeing the OG Whiteman. I mean, he is a fantastic racer, and I look at that race, and the only man, I mean, I guess you go, Nada got it spot on because he won in the end. But, like, outside of that, and to be honest, I was so fixated on Jake during the race and his positioning, and I was like, he's bang on, you know, he's on the shoulder, he's in second, he's in third, he was just always out of trouble. And you know, it was a 2 minute race, he never put a foot wrong, attacked hard with 200 to go, maybe too hard, maybe he didn't, I don't think he had to work quite as hard round the top bend because he was in lane one, and yes, he had people like Laros like trying to get up on his shoulder, but he could have maybe just measured that top bend a little bit more. But it's difficult because the minute you lose lane one and pole position on the top bend, it's kind of game over because you know you're going to have people coming around your outside. And so that's probably his only fault. You know, that made him just run out of gas that last 5 yards. That's all it was. But,
I think he's just too worried about other people, like, rather than Nada. He's worried about the chariots coming. He's worried about Laros because he can see him. And he's thinking about that versus right on the outside. And it's almost similar to Hocker last year, obviously ran the outside instead of the inside, but it's other guys racing each other and then getting caught out by someone who doesn't seem to be in it.
Yeah, and it is, to be fair, mate, yeah, you're right. That's exactly kind of how Hocker won his gold, and Nada's done the same today. Like, he's let those boys 250, 300, 250, 150, 100 to go, really squeeze and squeeze and squeeze, and then he's come through when the time's right. I mean, it was just perfect execution for him. And like I said, I really wasn't paying any attention to Nada. I need to watch it back during the whole race. Like, I couldn't even tell you where this guy was. I mean, he must have just been in the pack. But for the most part, it was obviously the Kenyans, it was Laos, and it was Whiteman in that top sort of four. And I wasn't really looking too much outside of that, except way back with Gawley and Kerr just mucking around towards the rear of the field for a lot of that race.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame for Gawley, isn't it? Because actually, that's the sort of race he could, you look at some of the names in there and you think, yeah, that was a big opportunity there.
Look, he's so good. We know he has a great close, but in that race, you've just got to pay close attention, man. You know, you really have. And, you know, someone like Reynald Cherrett, for me, that was a great race. He snuck a medal, but, you know, Gawley could do that. Gawley could do that if his positioning was much better. He just wasn't. And he had to like fight, what, like sort of, I think 500 to go. He had to really fight and push and squeeze. And, you know, then he too starts running out of steam. But we got to review. I mean, Whiteman's look great, all champs. And I just think it's been a long season for a lot of these guys. And I think Josh Kerr will regret Grand Slam. Cole Hocker, by the way, I actually think is the one athlete who negotiated. He's very unfortunate. That race, Hocker wins it. That race.
Yeah, for sure. But I think Hocker wins most 1500 races. Do you know what I mean?
Great. And he's probably the only athlete I've seen who's run Grand Slam and actually looked like he's still building momentum this time of year off the back of like US champs and stuff like that. But we'll see what his fight
is. I disagree, mate. I think you can say the same about Kerr. We've not seen enough for him to make that sort of interpretation. And with...
No, mate, I was... When you deep Kerr's 5,000 at British champs, it wasn't that impressive. It really wasn't.
What's he going to do though? What did you expect him to do?
Well, yeah, I guess like if you were weighing him up against like Whiteman, what would Whiteman do in that situation? But for me, and then also the London Diamond League wasn't that impressive by Kerr either.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm reading too much into. Obviously, watch a few of Kerr's YouTube videos.
The semi final wasn't great.
Leading into the London Diamond League, it done like one 1500 meter session. So
No, I know. I do think there's a content curse out there, mate. You're like low key, you know. I'm not saying anything. Jakob Hocker and Kerr all smashing the YouTube and didn't work out.
Whiteman smashes the YouTube as well. Not quite as much as now.
But Whiteman hasn't this year though. We haven't seen anything from Whiteman. He's kept a low profile.
To be fair, most of the vids are like rehab vids, so he's got no content to do when he's fit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He was trying to push out content when he was injured and maybe there's a curse there, you know.
But yeah, I mean, 12 months ago, I mean, even last week, if you said that Nada, Whiteman and Chariot would be your medalists.
I mean, it's, yeah.
I don't know. Even if it was Timothy Chariot, mate, he hasn't been like top for years.
Well, we've got to break down the move of Laros and Chariot going to rogue move from Laros.
I told you, mate, I just think, his time will come, but I don't think he's got like the belief, the real belief and the sensible head on him to go and win a major champs like this right now. Just too erratic.
I think with someone like Laros, he's gone into that race and Lewandowski's probably gone, look, mate, you can close. You're the best closer in this race. So make sure the first 800 is, you know, make sure that first lap is not too quick. Save some energy. You know, you want to move, but you don't want it to be too slow. Run 59, 2 minutes, and then you know when the kick gets going, you're going to be there, and you're going to be able to kick better than anyone. But you know, again, I think Laros unfortunately can close just as well, and a lot of these guys, and this is Ingebrigtsen, this is Kerr, this is a lot of the 1500 boys. They run just as fast last lap in a 3:35 race as they do in a 3:27 race,
and even a 3:45 race, though, exactly,
and even probably a 3:45 race.
It's so more intricate than like what your last 400 meter split is or what it can be. It's the positioning, it's the side to side movements, it's the relaxation, it's how like much their mind is messing around with other things during the race, basically. And that's what like I think people overlook. Look, the Portuguese athlete has got his spot on today. He stayed out of trouble. He's come down the home straight. I think, yeah, like you, mate, I've seen it once. And so could not comment on where he was for most of it. But for the most part, he stayed out of trouble in it and he's come past the rest of the field just in time, like just enough track left. And yeah, I think Whiteman's got to be, should be ecstatic with that silver based off like the past few years he's had.
He will be, but I think it's just so unfortunate not to hang on. I mean, I personally think it could have happened to a better person. You know, he is just, you know, he's the GOAT of British mid-distance running and the way he carries himself. And yeah, it just couldn't have happened to a better guy. It's been a very, very tricky 3 years. And I think actually what's encouraging, he'll take so much confidence from that, knowing that he's been out for 3 years and comes back and he's basically top of the world. Like, it's just, I mean, that I honestly thought Weidman would never, especially early this season and stuff, I thought Weidman would never be the same. I thought he would be making finals, but I never thought he'd be featuring at the front of finals like he was. Yeah. And I now think going into this next era that is his era. Like, I just look at it, you know, not as one today, and you're like, okay, Jakob, I personally think the 1500 in the near future, like they have been previously. Like, I feel like we're stepping into a new era. So you look at that last 100, 12.2 from Nader. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. You know, at the end of the day, he was able to close better than anyone off of a sort of moderate pace. And Weidman ran a 12.5 on the back stretch, I believe. But some of these splits, I don't know if I can trust. Apparently from 900 to 1,000, they ran 18 point. So things really slowed up, apparently. But I don't know if I can trust it.
That one there, potentially bunching in there. But that does seem too slow, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's way too slow. Because then it said from 1,000 to 1,100, they ran 12. Well, Nader ran 11.7. Right there. Ah, yeah.
Someone's just put the math down wrong on the track.
What athletics are actually fucking up so bad. Like in the stadium, bearing in mind, is just before the women's steeplechase and the men's 1500, they go, oh, our next event on the track is the women's 1500. And then they say it's the men's 110 hurdles is the final event of the night. And it's like, mate, whose fucking job is that to get that right? And then the splits have been off. The splits have been unreliable, all champs, really. Anyway.
Someone's just put the timers down wrong, haven't they, on the track?
Well, I don't know what's, but they've been glitching and they've been horrible. Like, I don't know if you could trust any of these splits, but one thing I would say, it was incredibly hot tonight. It was 31 degrees and the humidity was outrageous. It was like, yeah, there was no air moving in that stadium. It was incredibly hot, way, way hotter than yesterday. So, yeah, there we go. I mean, Josh Kerr, what drama. I mean, Josh Kerr, obviously, something's happened to him. Jonah Kovic is out the back door in that one.
Is he interviewed yet, Josh Kerr? I haven't seen it if he has, but...
I think the rumours were he couldn't make it to the commentary box. He's too injured, right? But I even thought yesterday when they interviewed, was it yesterday or whenever they had the semi-final, when they interviewed both those blokes and they interviewed them together, right? Kerr and Weidman. Kerr kind of just tells us what we expect to hear from him and... you know, says, oh yeah, I'll get the job done tomorrow, all this and that. And Weidman, just like, I felt amazing that last 200. And you could almost like, imagine saying that on an interview with, yes, they're kind of teammates, but your rival, they're just going, Kerr's there going, oh yeah, you know, this and that, fell over this. And Weidman just goes, I felt amazing the last 200. Yeah. And it was clear. It was, and then when you watch it back, you're like, God, yeah, this guy's got a kick on him. I think he almost outside Kerr a little bit there as well. But, you know, Kerr got injured. So
he's not outside Kerr. Don't exaggerate.
Mate, I think I'm reading too much into it. But again, it's little plays.
I'm just annoyed we didn't get to see Kerr run round in proper shape, mate. Honestly, blows Weidman out the water.
I actually think Kerr finishes tonight, the way that race panned out. Even Prime Kerr, I think he finishes outside the medals. Nader's closing in 12-2. I don't think Kerr has that in him. Kerr does not have the ability to win.
If Kerr was fit, right, he would not have left it to that, though. That's what I'm saying. He kicks from further out. He takes closer order of the race. And he's pissing around in the last 30 metres because the guys who finished that final, the standard of it is just not up to it, not to his standard.
Mate, the standard's ridiculous. He's missing
all the...
Mate, it's the world final for a reason. I think world finals have to be... You can't run a world final on who has the best PB or who used to be in the best shape. Like, this is, I told you, this is...
Hey, mate, you're the one who's saying that Hocker smashes it.
Hocker's
different, is he?
Those two.
For me, Kerr and Hocker, they are the best two in the world. And if they were both in it, they'd have been top two. But they weren't. And I'm not taking anything away from the guys who ran, but let's not get carried away.
Fantastic race, nonetheless. Like, it was just, you know, that's everything you want from a 1500. Everything you want for a 1500. So there we are, the men's 1500. Shock of the champs, really. I think, you know, Nader, Gressier is a shock. I mean, this champ, something in the air in Tokyo, because the amount of upset.
Bigger shock. That's a bigger upset.
Yeah, Gressier is a huge upset. I just think, I don't know, actually. I think the way Nader's running, I actually think Nader's more of a surprise. Nader, for me, is more of a surprise.
Well, what I'd say for me, though, the 1500 is always one of those races where the winner changes. Like, no one ever, like, keeps winning over the 15.
Yeah.
And it's such an unpredictable event at any age group, any ability. It is like that. Whereas the 10K is ridiculous to like to go and win a race like that. That's a ridiculous feat.
Yeah.
So
yeah, especially yeah. No,
mate, you're talking about ridiculous times.
Yeah, I mean that's women's steeple. Yeah,
that's sickening. In well, as you described, in those conditions, that is sickening.
In those conditions, I mean, honestly, the conditions conditions are mental. I agree. I mean, Teretic, champ's record, 8:51. Yavi did well. Chimutai did a lot of the front running early. She falls drastically. She has stumbles on a hurdle, 3 laps to go, maybe. And then on the back stretch, again, I only saw it in the stadium, but just hit a deck on landing. And that was it. She was gone. Quite dramatic, really.
Yeah.
Fine race up front with Yavi and Čeretić pulling away. Yeah, fine. A really good duel for them two. And yeah, the gap. I mean, to think Yavi was leading at 200 to go and Čeretić was 5 seconds on her in the last 200. I know Yavi's sort of given up and jogged it in by that point, but fucking hell.
Yeah, obviously Elise Thorner down in 11th place, but look, she made the final, had an amazing season, PB in the semi, and I think that's probably the thing as well. While she's managed to run quick in the semi, I think doing it in the heat and the humidity, it's the recovery off that, so hard to then go into a final and go again, because she'd have needed to get another PB essentially or get in and around it to place much higher.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Thorner's just learning that Christ, you know, is one thing to run. You know, she's probably capable of a low 9:10s, you know, 9:10, 9:11, 9:12, something in that region, the way that she looked in her heat. So when she's fresh, I think she's capable of that. But then it's another thing, you know, you've got to be able to. I mean, this women's chase is kind of moving like the men's chase was sort of 4 years ago. You know, the way that the races are just like, it's, you know, the men used to just go, right, we're running sub 8 minutes and off, see you later. You know, the Doha World Champs was ridiculous. You know, they ran 8 flat and, you know, the champs since then. And then now things, you know, last year was a bit different and this year very different. But, you know, that's because you haven't got prime time kind of Gurma. You haven't got prime time girly. Prime time Albacali and Gurma. So, yeah, but it's moving like that. You know, these women are just bang and they're off. And, you know, 2 steeples in a few days is very, very tough. And I think Thorne has just learned that a little bit. But the good thing for her is she's 11th in the world and it's her first champs. Like, she can build on that strength. All she needs to be able to do is basically PB second time out, you know. And had she have run, she would have finished in 7th place and she would have been the first European home.
Yeah. Absolutely, mate. And look, that pretty much wraps up today for distance action. Tomorrow, though, we've got men's 800 meter semis. We're coming in with heats for the women's 5K as well, and the women's 800.
Big day.
Plenty more to come. The men's 5K is not tomorrow.
No. It used to be. Yeah, it's the day after. Friday. Wait.
Yeah. Really? 19th is the... It's the time zone. That's what confuses me, though, with all these days. But no, yeah, men's 5K is not till 19th of September.
Yeah, so they're going Friday, Sunday for the men's 5K, which isn't heaps of recovery, you know.
So the women's 8 semis are then a day after the women's heats?
So the women's will just be like the men's. The women's will be a day in between every round.
No, it's not, because they're running the 800 heats tomorrow and then the semis the day after. Whereas the men had heat, gap, semi.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah. Not sure how they've managed to wangle that one, having different timetables that never normally kind of works out.
And then their finals on the last days. Yeah, women's 800 final and men's 5K final on the final day of the championships. It's going to be tasty. Anyway, that's GB's first medal.
Tough champs.
I'm looking. Keely will get a medal. Maybe Georgia Bell will get a medal. Don't think we're getting a medal in the 5K. I mean, it is a champs of upsets, so fucking hell. Imagine if George Mills gets on the podium. Woof. Could you imagine?
Yeah, I've told you to stop exaggerating once. Hey, come on.
What are you drinking? Well, there we go. The men's 1500. Again, I mean, this champs is delivering on all fronts. It has been an incredible champs. And the races, you know, this is what we love. We love this. And I think this year, with the champs in September, it shows actually the reason some of the races I don't think have gone to the form book is because this is much later to what you were used to. Last few years, I mean, obviously Eugene was really early in June. Budapest was in was that August? July, August time. It was quite early as well in relative terms. And then obviously you had the Olympics, which was, you know, just sort of mid-summer, end of July, early August yesterday. So last year. So, you know, I think this September has been a struggle for a few athletes to get it right and peak at the right time. And those we have come out on top.
Yeah.
There we go.
Said my piece. Do you think there's an excuse for that? You know, like I don't know how they're still getting it wrong. I mean, obviously, if you're there, like younger athletes, less experienced, but
yeah, for sure.
Because the only, I mean, or the, I guess the other way is if you're like an athlete who's maybe not capable of getting the time easily, so you've had to like over race, or if you're an athlete that like your contract's not amazing, so you have to go after any appearance money you can get, and you kind of just race here, there, and everywhere. But I think what we're referring to is, I guess, more like your favorites who you'd assume are in a decent enough financial situation, like your Kerrs, your Hockers, etc., that can basically, they can say no, they can afford to say no to stuff. So how are you getting your taper wrong?
Yeah, you know, first situation, you know,
I don't know. But like your build up, how are you peaking wrong?
I think Wyman is now
staging your career.
Well, I think globally, I think, you know, Laros has learned a lesson, and those last few Diamond Leagues weren't necessary for Laros. I think he's learned a lesson. Grant Fisher, for me, has raced far more than we've ever seen Grant Fisher race this year. He started with Grand Slams, and then he started drilling all these Diamond Leagues. I mean, that guy has buried himself in so many Diamond Leagues this year, in crappy conditions too, some of them. And I was surprised to see Grant Fisher do that much racing over 5,000. And obviously he's looked a little flat. Nika Young, and you know, they've done a lot of work. And so there's a few guys at this champs and girls who I've sort of looked at. And you know, Jess Hull's done quite a lot, but even though she's still delivered, I just think she's just head and shoulders better than the rest as well.
Yeah.
But I think that, I actually think, you know, it's a surprise. Wanted to have that Diamond League before the championships. I think in future years, that Diamond League, that last Diamond League, if it is to be pre the World Championships again, I think will be heavily avoided. I think someone like Gracia gets away with
sense, though.
Gracia does a 3K. Yeah, Gracia does a 3K and he's preparing for a 10K race, so he kind of gets away with it. And we didn't see him, you know, he wasn't out there running 13 minutes, 12:55 every other week, like someone like Grant Fisher and those guys and the Ethiopians and stuff. Anyway, I'm sure more surprises to come. Let's go. Come on, Brits in the 800 tomorrow, Patterson and Bergen. Let's get the job done.
Let's get through and then...
Three in the women's five. You know, Nuttall, Fitzgerald and Millie Courtney Bryant in the five. So that's going to be big.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy tomorrow's action, and we'll try and bring you an update pod ASAP. I'd imagine tomorrow we can get one done. So, see you guys tomorrow.